Let us now come to the Lord in congregational prayer. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with your goodness, gracious mercies all the days of our lives. You sent your Son Jesus to be with us, to teach us, to lead us, and to die for us, taking our sins upon him so that we may have everlasting life in your kingdom. Lord, forgive us our sins we commit and continue to commit, and guide us, Lord, to live each day in ways that praise and glorify you. And Lord, may we follow you. We pray that you will be with the Christians at risk in Kenya and all the Christians around the world. We pray for the leadership of this country and pray that all our elected and appointed leaders, both national and local, may look to you for guidance in their decision-making. Lord, we pray for our military men and women, our police officers, our firefighters, and all those who serve in dangerous positions. We pray that they may be all kept from harm and danger. Lord, we pray for the EPC Presbytery of the West, and today we pray for the Church, Hope Church in Cordova, Tennessee, and that congregation. We pray that all ministers of your word will preach and teach only your holy and inspired word. Lead us not to stray from your word. We pray, Lord, for your continued blessing on the work of Rob and Karen Buchanan in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Lord, we pray for our congregation, especially those who are living with sicknesses and ailments. We pray that your healing hand may be upon them. We continue to lift the family and friends of Brad Ward to you. Lord, we pray that our congregation will be true to your word. We pray for the leadership of this church. Lead each of them to seek and do your will for your church. We pray that you will watch over each of us this coming week. Guide us and keep us safe from the temptations that surround us each and every day. Lead us to live your will. We pray that you will prepare the students and teachers preparing for the new school year that will be starting soon. Give all of them the strength and resources need to teach and learn. Lead us now in the prayer you taught us so long ago, and the prayer that continues to be relevant through all ages. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand and join in singing hymn number 597, Though I May Speak with Bravest Fire.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Blessed you are, Lord, great God, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed you are, Word of the Father, who has spoken to every generation. Pour out on us your blessed Spirit, that we too might know the heritage of the holy ones, the witness of the saints and the people of God, the tradition of the apostles. Pour out on us that ancient presence, the glory from of old, the promise of the future, the seal of your coming. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Please join in reading our New Testament lesson. It's Hebrews, Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 29, found on page 1008 in the Blue Bibles and 1284 in the Red Bibles. Hear the Word of God, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. May the Lord bless to our understanding this reading of his holy word.
As we continue our series from Psalms that Zach has chosen, Zach's not here today, obviously, but we will continue with Psalm 114. The sermon today was preached by Legan Duncan in October of 2011, and it's on Psalm 114. Hear God's word. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like lambs? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. And thus ends our reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Thanks be to God for his word. Psalm 114 recalls the redemption of Israel out of Egypt and calls upon present worshipers in Israel in their worship to remember the redemption that God had accomplished for them. It is an important thing for believers to remember the day of their salvation. It is important for believers to take note and mark the days of grace and mercy that God has wrought in their lives, whether it be that first day when he brought us home from our wandering and our rebellion by the grace of his Holy Spirit, back into his forgiveness and into his family, or whether it's the days along the way of our journey when, in extraordinary ways, he has protected us, built us up, grown us, spared us, blessed us, and made his favor known to us. It is important for us to remember those things, and this psalm is about that. And I want you to see three or four things in the psalm as we look at it together today. First, taken as a whole, all the verses together, from verse 1 through 8, this psalm reminds us to remember our redemption. It's a psalm that recounts in poetic form God's redemption of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the whole purpose of the psalm is to call upon Israel not to forget God's grace in that day of mercy, to recount it in worship to God. And this is a very important thing for us to do. Sometimes God deals with us in such amazing ways that we think we will never forget it. But we do, unless we work at remembering. And so it is something that we purposely must do to remember His days of grace to us. This past August, my brother Mel wrote me a note on one particular day, and that note simply said, "I'm wondering if you remember that on this day, 41 years ago, you made a public profession of faith before your local church and were received as a communion member into that congregation." As a matter of fact, I did not remember what that day was. I knew the month and I knew the year. But my brother is the historian for our local church, and he had been looking through the records, and that day also, incidentally, was the day of his baptism, and he had found it and thought it would be an encouragement to me to send it on. It was an encouragement to me. And I can remember other dates like that in my life in which the Lord dealt me either by conviction or by mercy. And these dealings were so real and so powerful that I thought I'd never forget them. But if they are not remembered and rehearsed, we forget blessings that we don't need to forget. And this whole psalm is exhorting us as a people to remember that day, not only the great work of God in Jesus Christ, not only the great work of redemption in the Old Testament, but the great work of God in our own lives when he first brought us home to Him and when He began to work in us by His grace. Remember your redemption. That's one of the grand messages of this psalm. The second thing I want you to see is in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist begins with, "When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion." Now that second verse is quite remarkable, isn't it? That is the language that you don't expect to read until the New Testament. When you pick up Paul and in Corinthians, he tells you that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You hear language like that. When you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and learn that you are living stones being built up into a living house, a living temple for that Lord, and all of the gracious language of being a royal priesthood and a chosen people and nations that go on in that passage in 1 Peter 2, you recognize the fullness of the work of the Spirit in the new covenant, in the individual believer, and in the totality of God's people. But here that language is used just as powerfully, isn't it? When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, He made them a sanctuary. He made them His dominion, and this, even in Old Testament language, reminds us what God is doing to us when He saves us. His purpose is not only to spare us from the condemnation of sin, though praise God it is His purpose in Christ by faith through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His grace towards us received by faith in Him to spare us from the condemnation that we deserve from our sin. But it is His purpose also to build us into His sanctuary, to make us be His dominion, that we might be His living stones in this house that He is building, a multitude that no man can number from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, which will be the people of His habitation. And so it's important for us to remember what God has made us in redemption, and that's what the psalmist is saying here. When you think about redemption, realize what God has made you. He's not only made you a forgiven sinner, He's not only made you an adopted child, he has made you his sanctuary. And there are some very, very precious passages to us about this in the New Testament. Let me turn to one for you. In Ephesians 3, where Paul says to the Ephesians, "This is what I'm praying to you." We start with verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And there's the Apostle Paul saying that you are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Like he says in Corinthians, and that what the Spirit is doing is, he is making your heart to be a suitable habitation for the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are indwelt by Christ, and that he has taken up residence in you. And you can go on. You can look at John 17 and see Jesus praying this way about us, about our communion with the Father and his indwelling us and us him. You realize what God has made you in redemption, and this psalm is reminding us of that. When the Lord redeemed his people out of Egypt, he didn't just bring them out of the house of bondage and out of the land of slavery. He made them a sanctuary. You know, one of the great themes of the book of Exodus is that the children of Israel were saved to worship. When I was a younger Christian, I used to think that all of the language that Moses spoke to Pharaoh about, "Let us go so that we can go out into the wilderness to worship," I used to think that it was a trick that Moses was playing on Pharaoh. "Yes, please let us go out to worship and we'll come back." Sort of a trick, a ruse, a ploy. And the more I read the book of Exodus, I realized, no, that's the whole purpose. The reason that God brings his children out of bondage is so that they can worship. But isn't this beautiful? It's not only so that you can worship, but so that you can become the sanctuary. You can become the temple. You can become the place of the Holy of Holies. You become the manifestation of his dominion. That is what God has made you to be by his grace. Third, if you look in verses 3 and 4, the psalmist here exhorts us to rejoice in God's power, not only to remember our redemption, not only to realize what God has made us, but to rejoice in God's power. And listen to the language of it. "The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs." And you catch easily what's being said in verse 3. The dividing of the sea and of the river in front of the children of Israel as they crossed over to dry land. But you may wonder what the imagery of verse 4 is. It's a picture of rams and lambs moving in groups across the hillside. And it's a picture of mountains quaking. You know, as you see these flocks of sheep moving across the hillocks, that they're going up and down and bouncing around like this, and they're saying, that's what the mountains are doing in the presence of the Lord. It is rejoicing in God's power. If you look at Exodus 19, God has to warn the children of Israel not to get too close to Mount Sinai. Looking at the end of Exodus 20, after God has spoken from Mount Sinai, and there has been the earthquakes and the thunder and the lightning, you find Moses and the leaders of Israel have to go get the people and bring them back to Mount Sinai because they are scared. And that's when the people say, "Moses, could you just make sure he never speaks to us directly again? Whatever message he has for us, would you just pass that on to us?" Because they were awestruck by the power of God displayed in the trembling of Mount Sinai and the thunder and lightning. And here it is, the same kind of rejoicing in God's power, in the dividing of the sea and of the river, and in the quaking of the hills, They rejoice in God's power. You know this language is picked up in the New Testament as well, and especially by John in the book of Revelation. The heavens and the sea, what? They flee at the coming of the Lord in the book of Revelation. We even sing about that in one of the Christmas carols. One of my favorite carols is In the Bleak Midwinter. And I love the stanzas that goes like this. Our God heaven cannot hold them, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. And this is the picture of the power of God that is being pointed to in verses 3 and 4. Do you rejoice at the awesome power of God? That's what the psalmist is calling you to do. But there's one last thing. There's not only to remember our redemption and to realize what God has made us and to rejoice in his power. There's this final exhortation that you see in verses 7 and 8 and back in verses 5 and 6. To rejoice in the Lord's provision. This powerful God who makes the earth to tremble provides for his people. Listen to what he said in verses 7 and 8. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of God of Jacob. So here again is an emphasis on God's awesome power, an emphasis on the needs to tremble in awe in his presence. And then we're told, what does he do? He turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. In other words, he provides for his people first. They're in the wilderness, they're in the desert, they need water. This awesome God that causes the world to tremble before him is caring for his children like a mother cares for hers. He's providing them water because they need water or they're going to die of thirst. And so he can make water even come from a rock. So it's a picture of power, but it's a picture of power that's focused on providing for our needs. I love what Derek Kidner says about this passage. The psalm ends like its predecessor on the note of God's quiet creativity and care. He is powerful, but his power is directed to the point of need, transforming what is least promising into a place of plenty and a source of joy. A rock would not be a promising place from which to get a supply of water to take care of all the people of Israel, but God brings water from that rock, and it becomes a place of plenty. And so, his power is used to provide for his people. Do you believe that? You know, in whatever your lacks are today, the things that you so desperately want supplied, and you're beginning to wonder whether they will be supplied, do you believe that he has the power and the purpose to provide for you? This psalm is exhorting you to believe, and it does that to the point that it exhorts you to trash talk the mountains. Did you see it? Go back and look at verses 5 and 6. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? In other words, it's exhorting you to speak into these trembling mountains and into that dividing sea and river and saying, what you so scared of? What you running from? You're running from my God because he's that powerful. And if he's that powerful, he's powerful enough to provide for you. And that's what we struggle to believe so much of the time, or else we forget it. And so this psalm, it sets before us a memorial to God's redemption, and it says, remember that. Remember what he's done for you in his grace. And then he calls us to realize what he has made us to be, a sanctuary for him. It urges us to rejoice in his power and then to recognize that his power is deployed for us as his provision and to call on the earth to tremble before him in power as an act of fueling the furnace of our own belief so that we can really believe that in his purpose and in his power, he will provide for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our Sundays in the Psalms. Thank you that we can begin your day being reminded over and over and over again of things that you want us to sing back to you, things that we're so apt to forget, things that we're so apt to struggle to believe, and you know that. You know that already. And so you're so kind to us that you make us sing them over and over so that we can't forget. Lord, work these words deep into our hearts as we sing them and as we read them and as we meditate upon them. And then help us to believe that you are the God who provides and so worthy of all our praise and worthy of the awe of this whole world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.